everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I'm going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a whiskery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful dugong. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Maya by her boyfriend Lenny. I hope you are looking forward to this episode as much as I am. For more Relax with Animal Facts and to support our mission of helping you relax with said animal facts, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. There we learn about a bunch of cool stuff, you get completely intro-free episodes, and it's all for less than a cup of coffee a month. A huge shout out to George Vlad as well for the ambiance used in this episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to go check him out. And now let us begin to wind down a little bit. If you are a new listener, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family. And if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of flippers and a wetsuit, because we are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second encouragement to you is to notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. It might be in the shoulders, the neck, the legs. And if you're not sure, you can start from the bottom of your feet and mentally scan all the way to the top of your head, kind of relaxing as you go. It can be tough to relax when we are stiff as a board, and here on this podcast, we become jello. You can choose whatever jello you'd like. On the Instagram post for the last episode, a lot of you guys told me which jello you like. And we are basically gonna do our best to imbibe or impersonate that jello. And my last exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into the warm coastal waters of Australia, where the dugong resides. Well, here we are again in Australia. Welcome back, everyone. I'm sure you remember this place because I feel like we are here every other episode. It is almost as if someone asked the Australians, "How many cool animals do you guys want?" And Australia as a collective responded, "Yes." But the dugong is not found exclusively here. It inhabits the warm coastal waters that span from eastern Africa to Australia. That includes the Indian Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, and the Red Sea. And so they are found in a few places. The word dugong is their common name, but their scientific name is dugong dugon. This is an animal so nice they named it twice. These are kind of like the teddy bears of the sea. They're herbivorous mammals, always with some smirk and smile on their face, and they are often confused with manatees. And while they are similar to the manatee in a few ways, like their appearance and behavior, there are some serious differences, as we will get into. The dugong in the wild will live up to 70 years on average. This is one that is around for a long time, spanning at a whopping 8 to 10 feet in length and weighing from 510 to 1100 pounds. That's about 230 to 500 kilograms. This altogether makes them an enormous creature, one worthy of our respect and wonder, and we can be glad that they really are one of the most cuddliest sea puppies that I have ever seen, right beside the manatee. And so, while the dugongs and manatees are similar in their appearance and in some of their behaviors, they have a tail, that is, the dugong has a tail, that is fluked like a whale's. That is the main anatomical difference that can help you distinguish between the two. Some evidence suggests that they even used to inhabit waters that were in Egypt. And so, if we were to do a time travel episode, we could be in Egypt looking at the dugong right now. But in the present day, we are in Australia. Around 80,000 to 85,000 dugongs are here in Australia's waters. That is one of their largest populations, even though they can be found in over 30 countries. They are one of four species that belong to the order Sirenia. And these four species are made up of three species of manatee and one of dugong. This order specifically encompasses a group of marine mammals that are herbivorous, which means that they eat only plant material. And given the size of this creature, we can be happy they're not omnivorous or carnivorous. Although I would imagine the best they could do is cuddle you to death. Their days and their nights are filled with grazing. They graze constantly on those underwater grasses, moving their lips around on the seafloor, basically kicking up dust and eating whatever they can. They have a pretty sensitive snout, basically equipped with whiskers and little hairs to be able to more finely distinguish their environment, and once they find what they are looking for, they will take those large and rough lips and chomp down on the grass, removing it from the seabed. And these mammals can stay underwater for all of 6 minutes before they need to go for air again. One of my favorite behaviors from this creature is when they stand on their tails, jetting their heads out of the water for some air. They look like a little ballerina in a stiff pose. All I can say is that there is an art to it. The behavior of these creatures, as far as their social life goes, can differ. They can spend a lot of their time alone, or sometimes with a friend. But they can also be seen in large herds that can number more than 100. The dugong keeps you guessing, and that's why we come back for more. Dugong experts must be filled with joy, and one of the reasons I didn't say one of our slimy friends at the top of the show, even though I was tempted, is because they do have hair. The hair is extremely thin and is thought to serve no other purpose than a tactile one, that is, for their ability to sense their environment. Their little hairs are not doing much for protecting them from cold or any other temperature changes. For that, they have an abundance of blubber that acts like an organic jacket. In fact, warmer than any jacket we can buy. Their thin little hairs will concentrate around their mouths, giving them more nuanced scents in their mouth than on their body. Something important for them given their means of eating, kind of scrounging around the seafloor. This may come as a little bit of a surprise, but the brain of the dugong makes up less than 1% of their body weight. It weighs about 300 grams, making them one of the smaller brains of the animal kingdom. But their life is a simple one. They do not need to forage in a complicated way, they don't need to use tools, they don't have too many natural predators. I am sure that 299 out of 300 of those grams of their brain are spent doing little pirouettes on their tails to get some oxygen. That is, of course, my speculation, but I will hold it dogmatically and no one will change my mind. An adult dugong can eat up to 30 kilograms of seagrass in a single day. That's over 66 pounds. To put that in some perspective, that's about 60 heads of lettuce in one day. Now, some may ask, given the relative ease with which they forage and eat, why do they need to have such whiskers or sensitive hairs? Well, these creatures have pretty poor eyesight. They make up for it in terms of their tactile senses through their whiskers and by their excellent hearing. But as we have seen many times on this show, nature always has a balance about it. And their excellent hearing comes in handy for their elaborate communication system that uses squeaks, chirps, barks, trills, and other things. Now, if the dugong did American Sign Language, then maybe better eyesight would be important, but good hearing will do just fine. One more thing that makes the dugong just the best predator of seagrass is that they have a lower metabolic rate than many other creatures. This just means it allows them to use a lot less energy. If you have seen any videos, and if you haven't, I demand that you do, they move pretty slowly. They are like these large underwater, unidentified swimming objects, and the reason they are like this is to conserve their energy. They have no need for very fast expenditure of that precious energy that they have worked up, and so they'll move slowly and lounge around, doing what dugongs do best. These creatures actually have teeth, in case you didn't know that. I say that because I sure didn't, but they have between 10 and 14 teeth that line their pads on their lips. This lines up to their palate and allows them to easily root up vegetation when they need to. So here I have a definitive list of differences between the manatee and the dugong. And so let's start with their similarities. They're both herbivores. They both reside in warm coastal waters, and both are equipped with astute hearing. The dugong has a fluked tail like that of a whale, while the manatee has a paddle-shaped tail. The dugong a bristled snout, the manatee a whiskered one. And while the dugong has eyesight that is appropriate for their situation, the manatee has quite a bit better eyesight. And lastly, the dugong is going to live about 30 years longer than manatees on average. Which one is better, I would never dare ask. All I know is that if I were ever Aquaman, I wouldn't bother with sharks and whales and everything else. I would better be called Dugong Man. I would just hang out with manatees and dugongs all day. Then and only then will I watch an Aquaman movie. Someone get Jason Momoa on the line. In case I have not already made myself clear, dugongs are awesome. If you listened to the manatee episode, you'll know that it is thought among some that a very long time ago, the entire mythology of mermaids was made as a result of encounters with manatees and with dugongs. They could maybe see manatees and dugongs doing pirouettes in the water, standing up to get some air, and I don't blame them. In terms of their reproduction, female dugongs will have one calf after a year-long gestation period, and the mother, once the calf has been born, will help push her young up to the surface in order to take their first breath. That is such a cool fact. And for about 18 months, the young dugong will remain faithfully at its mother's side, sometimes even hitching a ride on her back. It has even been reported that baby dugongs will extend out their little flippers to their mothers, asking for assurance. And now let's move on to the name of the episode. What does the name dugong mean, or where does it come from? Well, this word is used to describe a large aquatic herbivorous mammal of the Indian and Western Pacific Oceans, and we started using it as early as 1800, this word being mostly borrowed from Malay, which is an Austronesian language, and ultimately becomes dugong in the Philippines. So this is a less messy etymology, sometimes it is hard to track, but here it is pretty crystal clear. And now, allow me to chip away at my spirit with another dad joke. Check this out. I went to SeaWorld and they threw me out for trying to ride the manatee. I don't really know what the big deal was, it's not like I did it on purpose. And now that your night has been sufficiently ruined, let's go to the review portion of the episode. This episode's review is coming from Yucky Yahoo, writing all the way from the United States of America. And Yucky writes, 5.99 stars. Love this great animal info and the host with his calm voice. Been listening for over half a year. Then what happened in this latest episode? Let me just momentarily interrupt the review by saying that this was posted in October the 30th of last year, so I'm not sure which episode that would be. But anyways, Yucky continues. What happened in this last episode? Similar to too many other podcasts, Stefan spoke fast, faster than ever. It was not calming. More importantly, the words all ran together. Cannot be heard. Were not enunciated. So many younger voices do this. Thank you for going back to relaxing with animal facts on the future episode. Love you. And then there is an update to the review sometime later. My apologies. I was unaware of the little, mostly hidden and before unknown to me, little percentage options to change the spoken speed. You didn't have 20 cups of coffee and fall for the ones who think you talk slowly. You are perfect and always have been. Thank you, Yucky. What a roller coaster of a review. You broke my heart and then pieced it together one by one. I didn't actually know that you could change the spoken speed on any applications, so in case you think I'm talking fast, I guess that's a setting you can check. I like the fact that you rated my podcast 5.99 stars, as if you were rating it out of 6. And this begs the question, were you rating the show out of 5 or out of 6? I have never heard anyone rate anything out of 6, but if it's 5.99 out of 6, that's still a pretty good score. But in case you guys don't know what kind of rating I would prefer, you can rate it on a scale of 0 to 3.72. If there are no decimal points, what are you even doing? All joking aside, thank you, Yucky, for leaving that review. I'm so happy you are a part of what makes the show special, and that you were calling me out on something that you thought was problematic. If perhaps I was going too fast, then I could temper myself. I could notice and perhaps realize the problem and make it better for everyone. That being said, if the show helps you at all, leaving a review is seriously one of the best things that you can do. If you've already done that, or if you can't on your application, following the podcast or sharing it, subscribing, doing whatever you can really helps the show. And the larger our family grows, the higher possibility we could start doing 2 episodes a week, maybe more. I would love to be able to do this show full-time for you guys, giving you the absolute best, but that is perhaps in the future for us. If you would like to request an animal, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and going to the Submit and Animal Request tabs. If you would like to reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com or by going to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts and sending a message there. It is because of George Vlad's work that we can explore these different places together. I have left his YouTube in the description and I encourage you to check him out. If you would like more Relax with Animal Facts while supporting the show's mission, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. The facts used in this episode came from oceanconservancy.org, visitsealife.com, nationalgeographic.com, factanimal.com, and etimonline.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. One that I can say I am a little bit biased to. I love these creatures, and I did before even pressing record. I hope that I have shared some of that love with you, and that your love for this cuddly sea bear has only increased. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this adventure, and I look forward to the next one together, with the next episode, with the next animal. Take care.